But maybe he was just like, I'm a controversial guy. There's just no, there's no point in me losing some deal. There's no point in me getting in trouble for something, whether I deserve it or not.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And,
so a great voice was silenced. And so therefore we'll never again hear his drunken rants on shoes. The manna which we look toward the heavens for.
Do you miss it?
No. They did a two-hour reunion show for charity recently, and I didn't even finish it. It's just like, look, a bunch of the high 50-year-old high people aren't entertaining. It doesn't matter if they wrote funny sitcoms or not.
Oh, okay.
Also, I love the fact that a couple years ago when the Jeffrey Epstein thing came out and they were talking about, like, they had him, and this I think is before he was dead. And then they're talking about his associate, you know, Ghislaine Maxwell. And Jeff is like, oh, I know her.
What is that supposed to mean?
He's like, yeah, I was hanging out with her. And it's like, wait, what?
Wait, excuse me?
Jeff, are you a person of interest in the Jeffrey Epstein case?
Yeah, seriously. Are you implicating yourself? What is happening?
I'd like, wow, the Who's Line people get around.
Yeah, wow.
What's next? We're going to find out that Wayne Brady killed Gaddafi?
Oh, stop it.
Or is it Gaddafi?
I don't really care.
I'm just trying to, you know, defuse the joke.
Okay.
It's like we just saw in that hilarious fourth season Community episode, you know, they're all screaming about the ghost or whatever. Then Troy's like, I broke the remote.
Right.
Is it expensive? Right. You gotta deflate the tension.
Yeah, right. I don't know. I thought that was actually pretty funny.
It's probably Gaddafi.
Probably.
Yeah. Remember Gaddafi's Dora Milaje?
No.
Take your time. Take your time. Gaddafi had... Gaddafi sounds like Gandalf, and that's kind of cool. He had a bodyguards. He had like, I can't remember what they were called. They're the something guard. And it's just a bunch of hot chicks.
Okay.
In uniform. Now, I don't mean to denigrate them, to call them hot chicks. Maybe they're like deadly assassins. I don't know.
Probably.
But here they are behind you.
Yeah, they're all like gorgeous.
There's some other ones where they're in some real like fur lined caps and stuff like that.
Are they all women?
Yeah.
That's okay. Yeah. See, like, I need bodyguards, but I want to be surrounded by women, so this is what I'm doing.
Yeah, pretty much.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, I want the person who takes a bullet for me to be wearing makeup.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. I don't know how I feel about that, but I guess he's a guy who knew what he wanted and he got it.
He certainly did. He knew what he wanted and he most definitely got it. He got it good.
Yeah.
Hard pivot to show intro. This is the Just Enough Trope podcast. I'm your host, Caliban, joined as always by my co-host.
Hi, I'm Ikan Hanna.
And we're here to talk about dead world leaders.
The things that you come to us
and,
talk about. Yes.
And writers of dead sitcoms. And we'll let you guess. We'll keep it a mystery which one is which. I want to shout out, because we always wait for the news, and let's just get it out now. I want to shout out a recent celebrity death.
Okay.
That's very sad.
All right.
Clarence Williams III has passed away.
Okay. I'm not sure I know who that is.
Everybody waits for you to say that.
I know.
Every time I bring up an individual proper name.
Mm-hmm.
He is an actor who has acted for essentially his entire life. He died recently. Died today, actually.
Oh, wow.
At the age of 81.
Okay.
Or excuse me. No, he died over the weekend. And what would you know him from? Do you ever watch The Mod Squad? Of course not.
No.
The Mod Squad was in the 60s, and it was kind of like 21 Jump Street in the 60s.
Okay.
Right?
Sure.
So there's...
I've definitely heard of it before.
Yeah. There's three. There's Clarence Williams III. He's the funky black dude. You've got Peggy Lipton. She's the, the chick. And then you've got, what's his name? Michael Cole. And he's like the teen criminal turned cop.
Sure.
And Peggy Lipton, of course, was on Twin Peaks.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And so was Clarence Williams III.
Oh, really? Who was he on Twin Peaks?
He was the guy. He was Dale's boss who comes in at the very end and tries to fire him. And
oh, okay. I don't really remember that.
Yeah, it's not really much of a big role.
All right. Well, that's too bad.
He was married to Gloria Foster.
Okay.
Who was she played the Oracle in The Matrix?
Oh, okay, sure.
And The Matrix Reloaded.
All right.
Yeah. I mean, you could easily just ask me questions about his life and I can answer them, or we could also just say, he'll be missed.
Well, I mean, tell me more
about Prince's father in Purple Rain.
Oh, okay.
He had a cool afro. That's all you need to know about him.
Okay.
And he was played by Omar Epps, right? In the ill-fated... Okay, so here's something... Okay, I found something we can talk about, and then we'll talk about the news.
Okay.
We finally evolved from remaking TV shows. Mm. In the late 90s, early 2000s, the trend was make a movie out of a TV show.
Sure.
If it's The Brady Bunch, if it's...
Charlie's Angels.
Bam!
Yeah.
If it's The Mod Squad.
Yeah, right.
Claire Danes is not Peggy Lipton.
No.
And that's what they were doing before they started doing comic books or whatever.
Sure, right. Yeah, that was a huge
A little more successful on the comic book side.
Yeah, I mean, Charlie's Angels did okay. Like, I think the first one was pretty good. And then
it did great.
Yeah.
Until we learned how much money a comic book movie could make.
Right.
And the answer was a lot.
A lot.
Yeah.
And people wanted more of them, so... Yeah.
In the meantime, just go watch Love and Basketball or something like that.
Okay.
Another role for Omar Epps.
Okay.
Omar Epps, 47 years old.
Oh, okay.
Where's he at?
Good question. I wonder about that. And I asked you the other day.
He was in a movie with Jamie Kennedy. I'm so sorry. Things not going well for Omar Epps, it looks like.
We're watching Netflix, and then it went to the Netflix save screen.
Box office, $31,000 for his last film.
That's
Trick.
Awful.
Not treat.
I'm Trick. Sorry. I'm sorry, Omar. So, you've been tricked.
Yeah, call us.
Yeah.
Love to talk to you.
But there was, and then I saw Kimmy Schmidt, like a still from Kimmy Schmidt, and I was like, where is Ellie Kemper? And then...
You're getting into the news.
You told me, and I was... As the Japanese say, shock, you know. And
do they say that?
Shock, you know, like they're like shock.
Yeah, shaku. Yeah. You still can't explain to me why it's shaku. They don't have a word for being shocked. They were never shocked until
they
met the English language.
Right. They just like saying it in English. I don't know.
Speaking of being Japanese, you're using your Japanese cloth there quite a bit.
Because it is so freaking hot in here. I'm sorry. I'm wearing... shorts. I've got my hair up, but it doesn't matter. It's sweltering.
It's not. There's something wrong, isn't it? It's the computers, right? We have a lot of computers in this room. It's our studio. If we shut everything down, it would probably. It might be a little warmer because there is no air conditioner in this room.
Right.
But it wouldn't be oppressively hot because even when you walk into the other rooms, it's. You know, hot, even if the air conditioner's not on, it's hot but not sweltering. But it is, it's the heat generated by electronics, isn't it?
Well, and then the door closed, I think.
That or there's a grow room below us.
Let's not start that rumor, but...
why not?
I don't know. Yeah, I mean, when we walk out of this room, even with no fans or air conditioning on, it's like visibly like many degrees cooler. And I don't know if it's like there are two windows and we've got the sun coming in and beaming down and then the electronics and then the hot air circulating and there's nowhere for it to escape. And then we're breathing hot air into the room.
Well, speaking of being hot, it's hot. On the street, on the beat.
Yeah.
You're snapping and you're looking around for other people.
Doo-doo-doo.
Actors wearing very dark makeup.
Yeah.
And you're, don't wreck it yet. And maybe you're in Hell's Kitchen.
Uh-huh.
The hottest place.
Yes.
And it's 1957, and you're in a gang because you're on the West Side.
Right.
For the West Side Story.
Yes.
It is 60 years. It'll be October, I think, was its general release in 1961, but it will be 60 years soon, the release of the original West Side Story.
Yes.
I guess they were just going to go with 59 for the Spielberg one.
I guess.
Kind of helped you guys out, didn't it?
Yeah.
Now it seems more poignant.
It does.
Yeah. But anyway, of course, Steven Spielberg is remaking it for some GD reason, which we'll talk about later.
Yeah.
Or complain about later. And so as a conclusion to our month of co-videos event,
mm-hmm.
Lots of knocking into your microphone arm. We want to talk about West Side Story, or I want to, because I'd never seen it.
Yes.
And so we have been watching classic films this whole month, building up to watching West Side Story.
Yes.
Just in time for Pride Month. No, I don't know. That doesn't really connect at all. But.
Not completely. I mean, there's one. Yeah, not really. But and we wanted to do it now because it's about 6 months before the Spielberg
release. Yeah, I mean, why not?
Yeah, right. I'm excited to talk about this. I saw this movie when I was a kid. I went through a huge musical phase as a young kid, and me and my friends like rented just about every musical you could possibly think of.
I did not.
Yeah.
I was in musicals.
Yeah.
But
right.
I didn't have a musical phase.
Yeah. And this is definitely one that I watched multiple times and really enjoyed. So
great.
Yeah.
Well, we can cut that part out of the segment then, since we're doing it now.
Well, I'm sorry.
We're just front-loading everything this week.
I know.
Think that's great. That's really great. We'll just say, give us a review on your...
No,
okay. Let's actually just do the news. Well, I don't know if this is a good lead-off, but I wanted to say that a third Quiet Place movie has been slated for 2023.
Now,
we'll see if that keeps up, because The Conjuring 12, we're still doing these. The franchise that wouldn't die actually beat Quiet Place at the box office this weekend.
Really?
Yes. So I don't think that, you know, we're going to stop the Krasinski Blunt train just for that. But the fact that it wasn't tops means that its prospects for a third one might not be so great.
I just think it's interesting that it The Conjuring beat Conjuring 2, Quiet Place 2, because Conjuring you can watch on HBO Max or HBO Go at home.
People want to go
But people want to go out.
It's hot vac summer.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
That kind of seems like maybe they made a good gamble with like putting all of the WB Warner Brothers movies on HBO Max, because like people are doing both, and it doesn't seem to be hurting them at all. So that's I guess a plus. I'm kind of surprised that people are still watching the Conjuring movies.
Let me stop you right there.
Okay.
It means it was the worst idea, and they know that because they're not doing it next year.
I know they're not,
because people would have gone to see it. You would have had even more. There were some people who stayed home and watched it. But people mm-hmm. are thirsty to see things. And so if you did not give them the option to watch it at home, that would be even more box office revenue, which is really what they want.
Yeah, but we're like about halfway through the year and they wouldn't have had anything. And now they have people who are subscribed
they would have had this.
To HBO Max.
I suppose. The streaming side and the film side, definitely, those are across town, those two offices, right?
Yeah.
So it's just one gains while the other loses, I suppose.
Yeah. I'm not really surprised that they're going to do a Quiet Place 3. I mean, I haven't seen the second one, so I don't know what the story is like. But
well, they got to keep the fiction of their marriage going.
Wow.
Did you see that? nobody has fallen from relevance faster than Amy Schumer. Is this true?
Wow. I don't know. Why
maybe
are you
Amelia
saying
Earhart.
That? Wow. Hot shots at Amelia Earhart.
Real important. Then not so much. I suppose her mystery has endured all these years.
Yeah.
She was on Voyager that one time.
Yeah.
That was really big for her.
It's
But she, Amy Schumer's like, you know, she's got the run of the place. She's a female comedian. She's doing great. And then a series of somethings? Did anything happen? She just got married and that was kind of it.
I think she just got married and was
I think they're actually rebooting. Aren't they rebooting the...
They're going to
do another
that.
Schumer show.
I think so.
Okay, well, we'll see how that turns out.
Yeah, but right.
Also, her cousin is like a terrible senator, but...
Well, you can't necessarily hold that against her because...
I'm going to, though. On Twitter, she said, oh, boy, Quiet Place this, Quiet Place that. They're only trying to, you know, maintain the fiction of the Krasinski-Blunt union or whatever. It's like, if that's the kind of humor we can expect from Inside Amy Schumer, too, I'm in.
Oh, my God.
And like a robot who needs to know, I am completely a human being. Fellow human units.
Mm-hmm.
John Krasinski's like, oh, you got us. Oh. That was his like reply tweet.
Okay, but what can you really say to that?
But apparently you're funny, and if you're not funny, you're friends with Greg Daniels. So to have Greg write a tweet for you,
I guess.
I'm saying Krasinski is just living his life. He's the lowest effort. He is perfect casting. He is Jim. He makes this dumb show where he's like, here's funny news. This is unoffensive. Yeah. And he sells it for millions of dollars.
I know.
He never changes the toilet roll. I have it on good authority.
Uh-huh.
Emily's calling me all the time about that. Complaining about this and that. He's a lazy husband. No, I don't know. It's just like, it's just so weak, you know? Like this whole idea of like, oh, it's zombies, but we don't have to write any dialogue because nobody can talk. And then also we're going to do a second one. It's like, I think you've said or not said everything there is to say, right? It's just going to be another thing. Yeah. And now it's actually a zombie movie because there's other people and it's like, oh, man is the real monster. Oh, wow. What a high impact.
Wow. No, we've never seen that before.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Okay. So what can you really say more with a third one?
What could you say with a second one?
Yeah. Right. And he wasn't even really in it that much because his character was already dead. He was just alive in flashbacks, from what I know.
I guess if you just don't care, then life's a lot easier. Mm.
Yeah.
Probably a lesson here for someone. I bet Emily Blunt just doesn't care. She's not really political, right? I bet she's just like...
I don't think she is.
Look, you worked really hard. You became an actor. You've been in some movies. Now you have cachet. You can kind of do what you want. And so it's just like, open range free meats and whatever it is that famous people get a spa treatment.
Yeah, right.
Right?
Yeah.
Don't tweet about anything because who cares?
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
Right. I mean, like, at least Mark Ruffalo's swinging. Now, he, you know, has to kiss the boot when he swings too hard.
I know.
But at least he's trying.
Yeah, he's trying.
Matt Damon was trying to get people water for a while. What happened with that?
I don't know what happened with that. I haven't really heard anything from the Matt Damon camp for a while.
He's a prick, isn't he?
Is he?
Supposedly, he broke up with Minnie Driver on Oprah. Remember that?
Oh, that sounds vaguely familiar.
Although I don't think Minnie Driver's the same, though, either. This
yeah,
has been Actors Gossip Corner. only it's a one-person corner.
Okay.
Because you refuse to join in.
Wow. Do you think Ben Affleck's a nice guy? Because I used to think
I think Ben Affleck is trapped in a world that he never made.
Yeah.
I think that he's just a tall guy from Boston. Do you know what I mean? And he's like... Boy, it should be cool to be an actor. And he became an actor. And it was like, ah, oh, crap. Now I'm an actor.
Oh, really, it would be cool to be Batman. Ah, crap. Now I'm Batman.
Clearly, he just wants to get hammered. But don't get hammered, Ben. We love you.
Yeah.
And I, like, I totally get it. I totally get it.
Yeah.
Now he's just trapped. He has to be Batman. He has to do all this stuff. Mm-hmm. And he says that in interviews too. They say like, "Oh, are you gonna be another Batman?" He's like, "Oof, I don't know if I can handle being Batman again. That's tough." And then it's been announced, Batman will be the linchpin of the DCEU going forward.
Right. I know. So it's like, stop. You want to stop being Batman? So stop being Batman. Like, you know, have somebody else take over.
Is there something about that personality? Let's diagnose him. That he feels obligated to do it. Like, he's a guy who will do it but complain about it?
Yeah, I think so.
You think he's reliable?
I don't know.
Remember when I told you my theory the other day about I think it came from Gene Roddenberry. Because Gene Roddenberry, so, you ready? I promise we'll do some news. I actually have some news about what we just talked about.
Mm-hmm.
Gene Roddenberry hated smoking. Now, he did it because he was an aviator in World War II and he was a television executive in the 1960s.
Right.
Like, he did it, but he didn't like it and he didn't want to promote it. And when, remember, Star Trek was a show in the 60s.
Yeah.
So Captain Kirk could be, let's think about this. Spock, but, you know, they could be lighting up.
They could be smoking.
And he said specifically, they don't smoke in the future. And studio executive, I would like you to not run any cigarette ads on my program. Now, they might not have anyway, because it's kind of a kid's show, Star Trek. But so you know, every once in a while, I saw this guy on, Gene Roddenberry, he was smoking. He's died from lung cancer. He didn't, but none of his characters smoke. I wonder why. Had to set him straight.
Uh-huh.
Later on, when he was getting, when they were making TNG or he was pitching TNG, part of the process was him going to Sedona or something like that for 3 weeks and drying out because he was on everything. He was on pills, uppers, downers, booze. He was on all this stuff, but he's like, no, I got to work now. So we're going to flush me out. One of the reasons that he died early is because of all the shit that he just put into himself over the years.
Right.
But he was like, no, it's working time.
Good for
Gotta
him.
Gotta get rid of it. No, it's not good for him. It's living time, man.
Yeah, right.
Don't do that stuff anyway.
Well, yeah, don't do it anyway, for sure.
Right.
Yeah.
No, like just putting drunkie in a bucket.
It's
like,
okay.
Like Hoosiers.
Okay, all right. Yeah, definitely don't do it anyway. But if you do it, then quit.
So the reason I brought all this up is because I think that there are Hollywood actors, they're just like us.
Mm.
They like a Frappuccino.
Sure,
also, they're functioning alcoholics.
Yeah, right.
Not all of them. But there's a lot of people that I think that, you know, if you give an alcoholic a $5 million payday off of his new movie, what's he going to do with that money?
Buy booze.
Well, yeah, he's going to continue to live a lifestyle in which he is consuming substances. And so there's a whole industry in Hollywood of, like, you know, wringing people out so they can get back to what they do.
Right.
So I just wonder where Ben fits into all that.
Right. Like, is he, like, just living hard every second he's not on set and then just, like, dragging himself to set on time?
No, because he's got kids. He's got, like, two or three kids.
I know he has kids. Yeah. Yeah.
Whereas Jennifer Garner, I think, just sits, once she's done with her appearance or puts the kids to bed, she just goes into a closet and just sits down, right?
Oh, gosh. Why is your depiction of her so depressing?
I don't know. I just feel like...
I mean, not that your depiction of Ben is any less depressing, but...
They made the mistake of becoming famous for their talents. So now we talk about them.
Yeah, I guess. We are your tabloids now. We talk about you.
That's right.
Yeah.
Hey, the director of The Flash, if this thing happens, Andy Muschietti...
Yeah.
Shared on his Instagram a picture of Michael Keaton's Batsuit a la 1989 Batman.
Oh, that's right. He's playing Batman. That's so weird. Okay.
It's got a little blood on it or some grape jelly or something like that. Just having a snack in the Batcave.
Oh, okay. All right. That's not weird at all. Why is he doing this again, Keaton? Because he's just having a fun time.
This is their big idea.
I know.
Is it an organic process in that we've failed so many times? There are so many people who have played these characters already, and we have no idea where we're going, but we can leverage the existence of multiple universes in the comic book. To say, that's what we were doing the whole time.
Right.
Spurred a bit by the success of Into the Spider-Verse, which, when you look at the history of Spider-Man films, kind of doing the same thing.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
Is that what this is?
It kind of feels like it. It kind of feels like writing backwards sort of thing.
I don't think, sometimes we say that sometimes, and I don't think that applies to what we're talking about. That's okay.
Oh, okay. I think they were like, well, we got Keaton. Let's put him and make him Batman. And then we'll just say he's a Batman in a different universe. And then...
Well, we don't really have Keaton because Sony had Keaton.
Well, that's true.
The MCU technically has Keaton.
Yeah, that's true.
Is it also an attempt to just, you know, split the pot with Sony Marvel on this?
maybe, like, well, let's take a little bit of piece of their pie sort of thing.
Sure.
Yeah.
Guess what? Tom Holland is going to be Ted Kord, the Blue Beetle.
Sure. Right. Like, why not? What? Right. Right. Well, people like him, so why the hell not? Let's give him a different role and see what he can do. And
The Rock is going to be an anti-hero in DC films, and he's already a car anti-hero in Universal's Fast and Furious.
Yeah. I mean, the Fast and Furious movies are weird, right? Because it's like they are kind of like a superhero movie, but they're kind of like they're criminals. So it's very strange.
Hey, superheroes are criminals.
Are they?
Yes, they do the police's job for them.
That makes them criminals.
They're assaulting private citizens.
Okay.
If a team of paramilitary goons comes in to steal a disease from a secret lab and you punch one of those guys, that's assault, brother.
Oh my God. Wow. Okay. I guess according to the Fast and Furious world, yeah, right.
No, according to our world.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
If you punch somebody, that's assault.
Yeah. Yeah. That's true.
They better be trying to kill you. Then you're defending yourself.
I know.
And the law looks the other way.
I just wish that they had like a Kevin Feige or a roadmap or had any freaking clue where they're going, because it just seems like they're listless in the dark and they're like, let's try this path. Let's try this one. And I don't know that they have any idea
to defend
if any
them,
of these things are going to work.
That's how you make, up until this point, that's how you make movies, mm-hmm. right? You just put one together.
Yeah,
you're
but
an executive
nothing,
who just
working.
Graduated from business school. You will definitely be fired in 6 months. But before then, you try to make as much happen as you can, right?
Uh-huh.
And you're not planning with anybody else. You're not coordinating. You don't have the multi-trillion dollar industry of a anthropomorphic mouse behind you. Like, it's...
But you're the WB. They're not like some.
Yeah, I know.
They're not some like independent company that's like, oh, where my head go? Yeah. They're a big company that's like, oh, where my head go?
Well, here's my two word refutation of that: Space Jam.
Yeah, I know.
Which is just an effing mess, mm-hmm. and was was successful in its time just by sheer weight of Michael Jackson, Michael Jordan's star power, and familiar characters that we can put on lunchboxes. But we'll see if the next one does any business at all.
Yeah, I don't know if it will. But I don't know how excited I'm supposed to be about Michael Keaton playing Batman again.
Well, then you definitely won't be excited about Issa Rae joining the Spider-Verse sequel as Spider-Woman.
I heard about that. I mean, why would I not be excited about it?
Because you don't
know
anything about Issa Rae.
Oh, okay. You're right. I don't.
I appreciate your honesty.
Well, but, I mean, cool, I guess. I don't know. What do you think?
It's fine. I also don't know anything about her, but I'll admit it up front.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if has she done a lot of voice roles? It doesn't really matter anymore, does it? I mean, the guy from New Girl was Spider-Man in the last one, so mm-hmm. it doesn't really matter.
Right.
Note to self, only pick stories we have opinions about in the future.
Okay, all
the
right.
News will be about 5 minutes long.
All right. Well, that sounds like a good plan.
Well, speaking of casting of people, what about Emilia Clarke? She's going to be in Marvel's Secret Invasion show.
Right.
I think at this point she is just like, okay, I'm a TV actress, but like... premium streaming TV.
Well, I mean, I think that's where she's found her niche, right? Like, as much as she has a niche.
Come with me if you want to live.
Yeah, that did not go well.
Well, there are rumors that she is playing Abigail Brand.
Who, help me out here.
She has green hair. Done.
See,
ironically, Polaris has green hair too, but you know, Abigail Brand. The leader of S.W.O.R.D.
Right. Is she going to be in the movies, or is this in a TV show?
They'll try to sneak her in the movies, sure, won't they?
Yeah, probably.
But Secret Invasion is a TV show.
Oh, I see. She's in Secret Invasion. We knew that before, and then it sounds like she's going to be Abigail Brand. Okay. All right.
That's what I said.
Okay, yeah, I'm catching up.
Sure.
Okay, can she...
Will she ever have her normal hair color in a film thing?
I don't know. I guess we'll I mean, she kind of, Abigail Brand, she kind of like kicks butt, right? Like, so, I mean, like, Daenerys was like good at like delegating and like telling her dragons who to burn. Well, yeah, but luckily, she wasn't like really fighting.
Luckily, Emilia Clarke is an actress.
I know.
Theoretically. So she should be able to portray two different types of managerial styles.
Well, I'm just saying we haven't seen her do a whole lot of like action acting before necessarily.
Emilia Clarke?
Yeah.
Yeah, she rides a dragon. All kinds of stuff. Yeah, oh, you mean, fighting.
Yeah. Like fight choreography. Yeah,
she's
type
like
stuff.
4'11". So. Yeah. I don't know. They can movie magic.
She'll do fine. You do training, they do work a lot with you.
With movie magic.
Yeah, right.
I can't believe I didn't mention this, and God knows we don't want to go back to A Quiet Place, but I do have to mention that again, possibly, maybe not, now that it's not doing as much business as they thought, but there is a Quiet Place spinoff planned for 2023 to be directed by Jeff Nichols, he of Take Shelter, Midnight Special fame.
Why?
Because...
Why is he interested in that?
Because his career is over.
It just doesn't seem like something that he does these like little like movies that are kind of weird and out there.
Like Mud.
Right. So why would he? It just seems very different from what he wants to do. I guess he just wants to work. So.
I don't know. Why did Chloe Zhao want to do The Eternals?
Because it's something different, I guess. So, yeah.
It's interesting. You know, we have talked at length about Marvel's propensity to just snap up, you know, what they see as like new talent. And then does that talent get to do what they want to do? Edgar Wright would say no. Yeah. Peyton Reed wouldn't understand the question.
Well,
and
yeah, Peyton Reed, I think just he knows where the money is.
And then in some places, like them. Well, here's my theory. Exactly. Peyton Reed is a completely competent filmmaker who can make the film that you want him to make.
Right. Exactly.
Far as the director being the boss, no.
Right.
He is the
That's
assistant
not what we're
to
talking
whoever
about.
The boss is.
Right.
And I'm the director. Yes.
Yeah.
As far as like the Bowden and Fleck thing goes, I just don't think they had it in them. And we can argue all day long, and it'll never be a pure argument about whether Captain Marvel is good or I'm a sexist. But I don't think that they had a Marvel 90s blockbuster, literally, superhero film in them, coming from Mississippi Grind.
I can't even remember what
it was.
They did. Yeah.
I just don't think that they were the people for the job. Chloe Zhao... I read a thing recently, and she was very happy. She talked about how much freedom she felt like she had on Eternals, and she shot Eternals on the same kind of camera that she made Nomadland on. They didn't make any technical demands for her, you know, it just either in terms of style or in terms of needing plates for CG or whatever. Huh. Like they let her work the way that she wanted to work, and she got to make the movie she wanted to make. So,
well, that... says some good stuff,
so
I feel
it's gonna
like.
So it's going to be the quietest, talkiest Marvel movie ever. I don't know. But as far as Jeff Nichols goes, I just think that he's gone as far as he could go. He's a guy who came out. He was definitely going to do it his way. He had some ideas. I feel like each one of those ideas was just fundamentally flawed. You know, like if you take Shelter off before the last 2 minutes, it's a fantastic film. But... I think Jeff Nichols thinks that that is very important for the 2 hours of film before that.
Right.
And that's a guy that, like, we just ain't going to agree artistically, brother.
Right.
And then Midnight Special is just that. Let's take that disagreement and make a 2 hour movie out of it.
I can't remember. Did I see
it? You did not see it.
Okay. All right.
So I just think that, like, his kind of weird, off putting, non grossing sort of run is over.
Yeah.
And so if John Krasinski wants somebody to direct, you know, his leavings. Then that's what's going to happen.
So is it...
And I feel, even though I don't appreciate the man as an artist, I feel bad.
Yeah,
I
right.
I feel bad for him.
Yeah, because who wants to direct somebody's leftovers?
Yeah, and who wants to be really disappointed by whatever he's going to try to cram into the movie
and
piss audiences off?
So is it just like within the same world?
I'm going to assume that it takes place in a world where monsters will kill you if you talk.
Uh-huh.
Right. You know, cancel culture.
Wow, okay. Is that what they're saying?
Yes. You haven't heard that?
No.
You haven't heard that? Fact, not theory. Fact?
No.
That conservative John Krasinski has created a movie that's a metaphor about how brown creatures will go after white people for talking?
No.
Oh, wow. We should have started with that. I never know how little you know.
That's very upsetting.
I never know exactly how little you know.
No, I'd never heard that before.
Yeah.
Okay, I freaking hate that.
Okay, so okay, now, all right, see? Now you're at the, you're pissed off enough. I should have set you up so we could have been pissed off together this entire sequence. But instead, we're going to talk about the Cruella sequel that's in development at Disney.
Oh, God, why?
Pissed now?
Yeah, yes. You know I don't care about the film there's that just came out.
There's a guy that put a video together that's like, and honestly, I don't think it works. I think like the idea is sound, but movies are just, movies today are just kind of made a certain way. So they're going to look similar. But he put all these scenes of Joker and all these scenes of Cruella together to try to show like the parallels.
Sure, yeah.
And I'm not 100% sure that it works. But I will give you that structurally, they are very similar, aren't they?
That's, I mean, that's
they're
what I've
heard. They're kind of the same
movie. I haven't seen either of them, but...
Cruella doesn't kill anybody, I hope. Does she?
I don't know. I haven't seen it. I don't think she does in this film, but apparently you told me that she wants to kill Dalmatians because Dalmatians killed her mother.
Dalmatians caused her mother to fall off a cliff.
I just don't believe that ridiculous, convoluted concept.
And somebody on a podcast, I can't remember who, so sorry, no credit, but said that, so now Cruella wants to look like a Dalmatian for the rest of her life?
Good point.
That would be, oh, it was Jack O'Brien from the Daily Zeitgeist podcast. He's like, that'd be kind of like if Batman dressed up like a mugger.
Yeah. Right. Right. That's a weird thing. That's a really weird thing.
I guess you can't dress up like an alley, but...
No.
So
no.
Cruella can't be a cliff.
No, she can't
anyway,
be a cliff.
So anyway, they're definitely going to do a Cruella sequel. And as far as, like, let's take the Jeff Nichols story and we'll just apply it to Emma Stone.
Okay.
Emma Stone's like, eh, it's fine.
Right? Oh, you think I got my she's Oscar. Gone as far as she can go?
I got my... Yeah, well, she had her Oscar. Now she's going to enjoy the fruits of being an Oscar-winning actress, which means she's going to do live-action prequels to 50-year-old cartoons.
I just, that's not what I would want to do. I'm sorry. I just feel like I would want to, I mean, I guess maybe the idea of playing Cruella is just too tempting.
Is it?
I don't know.
Because I bet it's going to go like this. I bet there's going to be a little, kind of a little bit of simper, a little bit of pout.
Smirk.
And she's going to yell at somebody and her fists are going to be clenched at some point. Right.
Cool costumes.
And Emma Stone performance.
I don't know.
That's what I'm saying.
Okay. Right. Yeah.
Maybe she smartly realized that she's just gone as far as she can go. So if the mouse wants to give her millions of dollars to be Cruella.
Do kids like Cruella? Do kids care? Who is this for? I don't know. I don't understand.
I think kids will just do whatever. There was a movie called Spaced Invaders when I was a kid. And it was... like a schlocky, like 50s, you know, alien kind of thing meets 80s boner comedy.
Okay.
Not good. Not a good idea. Nobody remembers it. But I wanted to go so bad to it.
Yeah.
Because they sang Louie Louie in the trailer.
Sure.
And thankfully, I didn't get to see it. And I've thought about tracking it down now, but...
So you've never seen it.
So kids will watch anything. So if you tell a kid that they're going to see Cruella, great, they're going to see Cruella.
Right.
Even though, is it for kids? Who is this? Who are these for?
That's what I asked!
Yeah!
Who are these for?
I don't know.
Are these for, like, people who are our age, who are like, man, I remember 101 Dalmatians when I was a kid.
That wasn't so tough of a question. Yes. The answer's yes.
I don't like it.
I don't like it too much myself, but I'll tell you what I do like.
Mm-hmm.
I love the fact that John Boyega, and by love I mean hate, John Boyega has stepped away from Netflix's Rebel Ridge for family reasons.
No idea what that means. There could be stuff going on in his family. What is Rebel Ridge? Do we know?
So we don't know. This is the best part.
Okay.
It's Said is a thriller that will explore systemic American injustice in the context of action, suspense, and dark humor. That tells us nothing.
No, it doesn't tell us anything.
Oh, it's going to be a filmed entertainment.
Yeah.
On a screen.
Okay. I mean, I don't like that he's stepping away because I like John Boyega. I hope everything is okay with him and his family because, I mean, that could mean any number of things. It could also just be a way, maybe he doesn't want to do the film anymore and that was just a way of him, you know, not doing the film anymore.
So
I don't know.
So since we're Gossip Corner, that can mean anything. We don't know what that means. It'd be like, we will always be relitigating the Snyder Cut until we die.
Yeah.
And then our children will take up our cause. Mm-hmm. But, you know, Zack Snyder left the project for family reasons. Now we know what happened. A couple weeks later, it was like, oh, that was real family. That was a big deal.
Yeah.
You don't think it could be because of his outspoken support of, like, the Black Lives Matter movement or anything like that?
I don't know. I guess I would be surprised if that was the case because I think he's been very vocal on that front since, I don't know,
this
like
is really
over
the
a
worst
ago.
Kind of news because it's not news. Like, the news is
right.
John Boyega is being recast in this Netflix series, right?
Yeah.
But
we
then,
don't know
and
why.
Then we spend another 10 minutes, like, speculating and the answer will come in time. We will know later.
Right.
Or we'll never know.
Exactly.
Faye Dunaway from Network would scream at me for saying the truth like that, like Howard Beale. But that's, I don't know anything and we'll know eventually.
It doesn't have the same ring to it, does it?
But I mean, that's what it is. So, you know, obviously whether he's in trouble of his own making or, you know, a victim of circumstance, he needs support. So I hope that he gets that support. Let's talk about good news for white men everywhere.
Oh, boy.
So I'm happy. It looks like a new Master and Commander movie is in the works at 20th Century.
Oh, okay. Like, just straight up, we're doing another story or we're doing a continuation of the film that came out how many years ago?
I have no idea! And we'll know eventually!
Okay, all right. All right.
The guy, Patrick Ness, is the screenwriter who's working on the script. There's no director. There's no talent.
We got no idea. All right.
So there is one thing that we can do as a podcast is that we can have fun and speculate. So, what do you think? You think we could squeeze Russell Crowe into a waistcoat?
I don't know. I can't remember the last thing that Russell Crowe was in.
I believe that Master and Commander.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to pretend like I know. Master and Commander, Far Side of the World, terrible title. But one of those titles is the title of the novel, I think. And that novel is part of a series, the Jack Aubrey series.
Right.
And I believe that that novel is relatively early in the series. So could Russell Crowe come back and play Aubrey?
Later on?
Yeah, later, 15, 20 years later.
Yeah, I don't see why not. But then would you get Paul Bettany to come back? I guess would be my next question. If the money is good, I guess. I mean, because he's Marvel stuff now.
I mean, he's already worked with himself. The actor.
The best actor.
Yes.
Yeah, I know, right? Jesus. Idiot. We totally fell for that. Who could it be? Oh,
I have no idea.
I know.
And it turns out it was just him.
You totally trolled us good, Paul Bettany. You rapscallion. Good movie, long movie. So just hope that the script adaptation is good. And
good movie, long movie.
Yeah. it was very long. It needed like an intermission like West Side Story had.
Women everywhere agree with you. Outlander is coming back for season 6.
Right.
It's going to be a shortened season 6, I think possibly because of pandemic problems. And it was delayed, of course.
Yeah.
But it will get an extended season 7 for its last season.
Oh, okay. Well, shortening this season and extending the last one, I think that's a fair trade. Cool. I need to catch up. I don't even know how far behind, but behind. So
I'm so far behind, I don't know if people even care about it anymore.
That's the thing about shows,
is that you know about them. There's a lot of ads because they've got to make you aware of them. Then once they've got you, they don't need to do so much anymore.
Right.
I call it the Vampire Diaries theory.
Yeah.
Thing ran for like 9 or 10 years. And like, I had no idea it existed for like the last 6 or 7 of those years.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But it had a dedicated audience. So you go.
I think this has a dedicated audience too.
Maybe they need to run a new set of ads to like hook old fans back in.
Yeah, right. You went away. You went back to the future. Now come back to the past or something like that. Okay,
well, you know, we can talk with creative about that. But the point is that just be like, oh, there's a whole new, now Claire's going to go Karen on these guys.
Okay.
And then Jamie's going to, it turns out Jamie had a child porn ring. That he's like, let me explain, Sasanak. Jamie's like, oh, didn't you know that Jamie was like involved in money laundering in the Cayman Islands?
Yeah, right, I know. it's a little much sometimes.
Do you think, okay, Outlander, final season, final episode, are they together?
Yes.
Maybe the real story that you should just live your life in the century you're from and this was not meant to be?
No, that is not the real story.
That you can want. Oh, okay. All right. Oh, no. Interesting. Not even willing to entertain that. Okay. Okay.
No. No. I think Jamie's the love of her life, and she. It's
not the love of her life. She wasn't born yet.
You know what I mean.
You should know what I mean. Maybe the theme is mucking around in time is not the way to go. Do you think Well, we know how you feel now. Do you think that...
But she would never daughter if she, you know, didn't go back in time and meet Jamie.
Oh, yeah. The daughter is getting in trouble now, too. We can worry about her. Mm-hmm. So that's even better. Please have more kids so you guys can F up all the time. Do you think that Ronald D. Moore is the producer?
Yeah.
You're right. I didn't mean to phrase that as a question. Ronald D. Moore is the producer, and Diana Gabaldon is the author.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
Do you think that Gabaldini they... Gabardine, yes.
Gabaldini
yes,
or
very
something.
Stylish.
Stop.
It's Gabaldon. Do you think that they have the same idea for how it should end? Do you know what I mean? Like, Glenn A. Larson? Nobody asked
question.
Him. But the way that RDM's Battlestar ended, it was very different than the way that Glenn Larson's ended. A lot less Mormon. And so do you think that they agree? And do you think that it will end the way that Diana wants it to? The reason I came up with that question is because I was thinking, I think that Ronald D. Moore would put a theme in that maybe you shouldn't mess around with time.
He might.
I know you disagree vehemently with me.
No, he might.
But yeah, I'm just trying to guess practically how it will end.
Mm-hmm.
And knowing what I do, I think it could end that way.
I mean, it's incredibly possible, and I think he likes to put
things... Now you agree.
No, I think that he likes to put things in that are kind of depressing and that make you think, and so maybe it's not the oversimplistic go ahead and muck around with time because you were destined to thing that I want to think it is.
Yeah, I mean, but... I think if the show is... And of course, we haven't seen all of it, but what I've seen... It isn't just like don't mess around with time because Biff will own a casino.
No. Right.
It's also you aren't entitled to mess around with time.
Well,
and
that's true.
Claire's entitlement and her idea of what the modern world should be is continually challenged by her adventures in the backward past.
Yeah.
And yet for his, you know, I mean, I think if anything, the slave episode like drove that home. Like I kind of hope they move on now from that theme because we get it.
I know.
Like, the past sucked, and there's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah, right.
But isn't that literally, I said Karen before, and I know that's a charged term, but I literally said that before because that's kind of what she's doing. She's going through, she wants to see the manager of all of time, you know? She's trying to, like, every place that she goes, she's like, this shouldn't be the way it is. And it's like, you're absolutely right, but unless you become... you know, the liberator of all slaves everywhere 200 years before it actually happened.
Right.
I don't know what to tell you. Like, it happened already.
Right. I know.
And then you've got a character like the Giles, the witch lady or whatever, and she's like trying to mess around, and she finds out.
She does find out. I was thinking about her too.
Yeah. We should watch the show again.
I think we should.
No, I'm talking about it.
Yeah, I think we should. I think maybe we watched it too intensely for a while and kind of needed a break, and now we can go back, I think. So.
Sorry. It turns out West Side Story is inspired by William Shakespeare's Romeo and Juliet.
What? No way.
I don't know. I need a second source on this.
I know, right? It doesn't know. I don't know if it matches up quite that well.
It's weird to think about West Side Story, and you know, thinking about it like a period piece. You know what I mean? And when it came out, you know, it was only like for 3 or 4 years after the musical was a smash on Broadway,
right?
And so it really isn't. Like, they might have, like...
Not at the time, not really.
No, and people, like, you know, the middle-class people, like, going to the movie, did or didn't grow up in Hell's Kitchen or, you know, or are immigrants themselves. You know, right. For, like, the main middle-class, like, white viewer of this film, this might be a somewhat alien world.
Right.
But it was more or less contemporary.
It was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I'm not good enough with periods and costumes to know if they were pushing it backwards or pushing it forward at all. Like, if you went to a dance... a teenager dance in 1961 when this movie came out,
right.
Would it look like the John Astin hosted dance? Come on, everybody, we're all gonna have fun.
Yeah, right, right, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Why is Gomez Adams here? But yeah, of course, it is directed by two people, Robert Wise and Jerome Robbins, and thereby hangs a tale. Maybe we'll get to that in a little bit.
Okay.
The screenplay was by Ernest Lehman, mm-hmm. who... won an Academy Award, I believe, for this, but also he, you know, wrote a lot of movie musicals.
Okay.
King and I, sure. Sound of Music.
Okay, I love The Sound of Music. Sound of Music is probably one of my favorite movie musicals of all time.
Sure.
So yeah, King and I is good too, but I really love Sound of Music.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. And of course, based on the musical with music by Leonard Bernstein and book by Stephen Sondheim.
Yeah, and the music in this is fantastic.
There aren't any duds.
Yeah,
all musicals have a song. I like to call it the Charlie's Mom song.
Oh God, yeah, right.
And the only one that could kind of be that is Around the Corner. You know, Tony's song when he's moving the bottles and he's.
Yeah.
We're just trying to move it forward here. You know, we're in the first act here. We're just trying to just keep going.
Yeah, right. But everything tells a story and moves, like you said, moves the story along. And it's the music is good, the lyrics are good. A lot of the songs you recognize, even if you hadn't seen like or aren't familiar with a musical at all before. Like, I think a lot of people know, of course, Maria. And Tonight and
you're just reading
Somewhere
a list of songs.
not just a whole list, but but those ones mainly. And I don't know, they're just it's great.
It really is. It's so you were talking before about being a musical kid or loving musicals when you were a kid.
Mm-hmm.
I just saw this a couple days ago.
Yes.
I'd never seen it before. I don't know why. And I imagine in a completely different world in life for myself if I had seen it.
Yeah,
because
what's that?
I'm somebody who, you know, I was an actor from a very young age, acted for a long time, and kind of crapped out because I just didn't. I wasn't looking forward to a future of pretending to pour myself a drink, you know, and talk.
Yeah,
I just wasn't crazy about that.
Yeah. I get that, actually.
And had very little experience with musicals. Well, I mean, some, but not a lot. Definitely on the professional level.
Mm-hmm.
And every time I see something like this or, Something else. There's something else that I saw recently.
Was it Singing in the Rain, maybe?
Oh, Singing in the Rain. Or even Funny Face.
Sure.
And I'm like, I should have done this. If I had seen this 25 years ago, I would be probably failing. But I would be a song and dance man. I would be doing that today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, I could totally see
that. It's way too late now. But I absolutely would have pursued this.
Uh-huh. What is it about this musical that is exciting to you? Is it the
you watched it, right?
Yeah, I did.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why has Romeo and Juliet survived all these years?
Because it's
the greatest love story ever told about two kids who die over a weekend.
It's really depressing when you break it down and you think about it. I think it's...
Here's why.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I don't want to cut you off, but I have a feeling that you were just going to riff. And I know the answer to the question that you asked me. So with your permission, I'll continue.
Yeah.
It's because it is that story with a point.
I agree. Yes.
Recasting two rich Italian crime families. Did anybody ever done like a Goodfellas, Romeo and Juliet?
I don't know about Goodfellas.
This is basically like the Baz Luhrmann
one.
That's
what I was thinking.
But without all the backflips.
Yeah, right.
And more gabagool.
Yeah, right.
Maybe?
Yeah.
Anyway, it takes this story like, why do I care about the three civil riots and the Montagues and the Capulets? Who cares?
Yeah, right.
But if you contextualize it to something that apparently was a big deal 60 years ago and is still going on today, which is immigrants.
Yeah.
Racism.
Yeah.
Classism,
yes.
People accepting each other, the ineffectualness of the police,
yep,
and the way that they manipulate minorities.
Yep.
Like, it's just like, who made this for me?
Yeah,
60
know.
Years ago.
I know.
And it makes the... I've played Romeo. It makes the story pop in a way that I just don't get from the old play anymore.
I agree. And I think it is...
And a lot of people were a very dark foundation.
Yeah, that's I think one of the things that is kind of disappointing about this. I mean, I think you have to say, well, that's how it was back then.
Yeah.
Not great. Not making an excuse for it.
Yeah.
But that happened. So that's so not weird a good thing.
So I'm sure that like Rita Moreno, who steals the entire movie.
She does.
I'm sure she read for Maria.
I'm sure she did.
But in the end, you're like, we got to get this made. We get a name and we get Natalie Wood and then get the dark foundation.
Well, see, I was thinking about this too. Do you think that that's it? Or do you think that they thought that she was not necessarily believable as the young, naive, bright-eyed girl that Maria is?
You do her hair different.
I guess.
She's an actress.
I know. That's true.
You see her as the feisty, worldly
I think you're
Anita
right.
because
that's
how
good
she's
presented
is. Yes.
And that's the role that she played. Yeah.
Yeah. She was very young when this came out. So
yeah. Okay.
So they got so close. I mean, in no other picture have I seen so many, Hispanic, Latino background dancers.
Right.
But it's like it just stops at the top, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, and right, like the guy who played the Bernardo, Maria's brother, he's not Latino either. I think he's like Greek or something like that. But
George Chakiris?
Yeah.
Who is 86?
Mm-hmm.
Here's a picture of him.
Okay. He does not look 86.
Well?
I don't know how long ago that was taken, but...
I don't know how long ago that wig was made, but... He's definitely, he's holding it together.
Yeah. He looks good.
Won both the Academy Award and the Golden Globe for Best Supporting Actor for this picture.
Okay. He did a good job, you know.
One of 10 Oscars that this won, not including the technical Oscars that it won for cinematography, color cinematography and art direction.
Sure.
Best Picture, Best Director, shared by two people, of course.
Yeah.
Best Supporting Actor, Supporting Actress.
Oh, okay. Moreno won for Best Supporting Actress. You said that already.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
Cool.
Adapted screenplay. Oh, yeah. Moreno's a EGOT.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right. I knew that.
Cinematography, costume design, editing, scoring, sound, and an honorary award for Jerome Robbins. Let's talk about Jerome Robbins. Jerome Robbins, choreographer and stage director, Long time stage director, Peter Pan, King and I, Pajama Game.
Wow.
West Side Story, Fiddler, Gypsy. Five-time Tony Award winner and a Kennedy Center Honors recipient. And he won two Oscars for this film. He was fired about a month into this. About four weeks into this.
Really? What happened?
Well, here's the deal. He's a very talented stage director.
Yeah.
That has nothing to do with directing a movie.
Yeah.
And so, like, I think 40 days in, they were 20 days behind or something like that.
Okay.
And he was, like, the way he was working with the actors was very much like a theater director.
Sure.
In theater, you know, you've got 6 or 7 weeks or whatever it is.
Sure.
And then you're up. And that's not how you make a movie.
You gotta film it.
Yeah.
As it goes. Yeah.
And out of sequence.
Yeah.
And you have to have things ready for certain times and not other times.
Okay.
And you've got actors doing backflips that if they miss it, you're dead.
Yeah. Right. I know.
Russ Tamblyn.
Yeah.
And so he was asked. He was let go from the picture, and Robert Wise took over. But Robert Wise continued the production. They fired Jerome Robbins, but all of his people were still there. And so Robert Wise relied on the choreographers that he had put in place to execute his choreography. So that side of it, you know, is still his.
I see.
And then when it time came to, you know, put the credits on, Robert Wise demanded that Jerome Robbins' credits were still there.
That's nice. You don't always see that in Hollywood. That's really cool.
Yeah, Robert Wise is a cool guy.
Yeah, okay.
Directed Star Trek Motion Picture.
Oh, gotcha. Nice.
He says, instead of The Sound of Music. Or any of the other amazing films that he directed. But one more Oscar that they should have, if there's an Oscar for casting, this should get it too.
Yeah, because I agree.
Just incredible. The strength of a theater production is often your side parts. In a film, side parts are just there to tell, you know, the girl, maybe you should go out with Hitch or whatever.
Right.
But in a musical, people are getting their clothes changed. And so you need people to sing about the street where she lives or whatever it is.
Yes.
And in this, it just, every time they throw, the Jets.
Yes.
The Sharks. Who are the white ones?
The Jets are the white ones.
Jets are like, have their own story, and we always cut back to them. And instead of it being like, oh, the Jets again, it's just as good as the main story.
It is. And I like that they made everybody kind of had, maybe not everyone, but it felt like a lot of people had their characters fully developed. And when they throw to that character has a line, you're like, you really feel like that character is fully realized and a part of the story. And then they're singing a line, they're doing a thing, they're doing a song together. It seems like a real ensemble piece when the Jets are present.
Yeah.
So I think that was very well done.
They gotta be cool.
Yeah. Oh, I like that song a lot. That's a good song. I also like Officer Krupke, that song. A lot of things, like, okay, maybe some things are stereotypes and they're dealing with it, but it's like they're dealing with basically all the things that people say, this is why you're no good, you know?
Right, but like, you know, a contemporary musical, Bye Bye Birdie, is like, oh boy, kids sure get excited for rock stars.
And that's it.
Yeah.
That's it. This is multiple verses about why I'm not
like,
good.
I'm going to write like a, yeah, I'm going to write a song like that's about like the social panic over like teenagers, which is a very real thing because teenagers is kind of a new thing.
New concept.
In the 1950s.
Yeah.
And all their problems. And it's going to be like, it's going to cynically sort of deconstruct all the criminal justice system, the mental health system, all the ways, things that try to exploit this.
Yeah.
But it's also going to be like really funny.
Yeah, right. Exactly. And they're having a good time making fun of this ridiculously horrible system that they're a part of because life.
Yeah. Which is just double cynical bonus score.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a good time. And they're good at snapping. They're very good at snapping.
Well, they worked very hard on that.
Yeah. Yeah.
A lot of choreography.
Yeah. Good dancers and singers. I mean, you kind of have to be. But I feel like sometimes in musicals, like sometimes I think they focus on like the singing and not like the acting. Like maybe like we got to make sure we have singers, but we don't really care about the acting. But I didn't feel that in this.
Yeah, Baby John was reading a Captain Marvel comic book. Yes. Before the Captain or Officer Kripke song,
yeah.
Which made me think of Frederick Wortham and Seduction of the Innocent,
uh-huh.
His book that he wrote in 1955,
okay.
Which decimated the comics industry because it was all about the influences of comic books and these things that were seducing teens and causing them to reefer drug and stuff like that. So I wonder if that
comics
that comic is specifically like a shout out to that, because it's we can't have them smoking reefers.
Well, right.
In a stage musical in 1957.
That could be like, you know, but we can have them read a comic book.
It was a big deal. There were like hearings on Capitol Hill about this.
Oh my God.
Well, that's where the comics code comes from.
I did not realize that. Like comics, it was before video games, it was comics.
You're starting to see the pattern now.
Yeah,
huh?
I am.
Yeah.
Yeah. What TikTok. What about the children?
Now it's TikTok.
Yeah. Oh gosh. Who cares? Who cares? Here's soup for my family.
If you had kids, you'd care.
Yeah, okay.
Why is it soup for my family?
I don't know, because that's like I don't know much things from TikTok and I know soup for my family. But that isn't...
It's from, like, Left Talk.
I know, but, like, I just remember these two teens doing a thing about Soup for My Family.
I remember a teen singing about wiping out Tomato Town.
Yeah.
So maybe there was tomato soup. Who knows?
Who knows?
Do you think this is, like, timeless? Like, I still can't get over how this was essentially just contemporary when people watched it.
Mm-hmm.
I know that playground when that kid was shot.
Oh, my God.
I live by there. Of course, Hell's Kitchen doesn't look like this now.
Right.
But it becomes more and more of a period piece, I suppose. But it has a timeless quality still.
I think.
Except for all the maracas. You know? It's very like, and they're mamboing a lot. It's that very like 50s sort of quote unquote ethnic kind of vibe to a lot of the music.
Yeah, there is that.
How are they going to F it up for the Spielberg one?
That is a fantastic question. Well, first of all, Elgort or whatever the heck his name is in it. So that's one strike against them without even watching the film.
I think the charges were dismissed.
Were they?
Or the complaint was dropped.
Okay. I don't know. I mean, I think you and I talked about, well, they're probably most likely, you know, everybody who is... Latinx is going to be Latinx, you know, I hope, you know, I hope there's no brown makeup because that would be a huge F up today. But I don't.
I can't conceive of that being a possibility.
I can't either.
But then Zoe Saldana decides to play Nina Simone.
And.
In the 20th century.
Yeah.
The 21st century, whatever the hell we live. And you're like. Wow, it's just still a thing.
Yeah,
this is still a thing.
It is. So, I mean, I hope that that's not a thing. I don't think we have to worry about that. But I don't. Are they going to try to change any of the lyrics?
What would you change?
Well, I don't know. Keep thinking of like this is so stupid, but like I feel pretty. There's a line about like, you know, I feel
she feels gay.
Yeah, right. And
I
that
think
meant
we can
a different.
What gay means?
I know, but that meant something different when it came out.
Well, it still means what it means now.
Be happy and
yeah,
yeah. So, but I mean,
also, what rhymes with gay that you can put in there? Nothing.
Nothing.
Because you it has to rhyme with the next line.
Right.
Maybe the Sharks will whistle Old Town Road remix with Billy Ray Cyrus as they leave the shop. And then when the Jets leave, they can whistle Despacito.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, there you go. I don't know how they can improve this movie. Is kind of like why I'm like, why are we doing this? Other than like Spielberg wanted a challenge and wanted to direct a musical. And
it's
he
the
likes
most
this.
Worthless remake since Ben Hur.
Yeah.
Remember when they remade Ben Hur?
I don't actually.
They did a couple years ago.
Okay. All right. It's like redoing Sound of Music. Why would you do it? Why would you do
it's
it?
It's coming. Cast it right now.
I don't. want to.
And when I say cast, mm-hmm. especially for like, you know, the Maria character, a lot of Marias.
Yeah.
You're not really casting. You're just doing a math equation that spits out a pop star. So what pop star plays Maria?
Billie Eilish.
I kind of thought that too, but I don't think that she will be white. I think we'll just go, why is a Puerto Rican woman babysitting this German guy's kids? Doesn't matter.
Oh, okay. I'm so bad with pop
trick names. Question. You'd have to know pop stars first.
Yeah, right. What's her name? This is off to a good start.
Taylor Swift. Taylor Swift was just cast in a David O. Russell movie, and it's like a couple things. Number one, David O. Russell's still making movies.
Yeah, really.
Number two, David O. Russell's still making movies.
Yeah.
Why do people work with David O. Russell? He's just gonna throw a samurai sword at your head.
I don't know.
And Taylor Swift, like,
people like him.
You for famously. Some reason. Here's the funny thing: Taylor Swift, in her entire life, will not take shit from anybody. The second she wants to be in a movie, she'll do anything.
It kind of seems
so
that way.
So she'll be like the 15th on the call list in Merry Christmas or some Gary Marshall movie, right?
Yes, as I bump my mic.
Or like she'll do Cats and she'll go like, oh, it was great writing this terrible song with Sir Elliot. What's his name?
I don't know.
Guy did Cats.
I don't remember his name.
We're the worst theater kids ever. Anthony Michael Hall, of course.
Okay.
Sir Anthony Michael Hall. She bought it. She bought it, everybody.
I think, you know, she might actually be a good pick.
We can't move on. Andrew Lloyd Webber.
Uh-huh.
Oh, are right. You here? Come on.
Yeah, I'm here. All right. I thought you meant like who directed Cats.
Tom Hooper, we know that.
Yeah, okay. And I didn't understand the question.
I don't know if he will ever work again.
No, I think that maybe Swift might be a good choice for Maria because she can
play. I didn't know. Sorry, you Judas goaded me into this. I didn't know that's where we were going. No, she would be terrible. No.
I just mean because she can play
the
guitar.
You have to act.
You have to be able to act. I know.
Yeah. And for some reason, Taylor Swift keeps wanting to be in movies.
I know.
And she'll do anything, like work with David O. Russell, serial abuser.
Has he been Me Too'd?
Yeah, he Me Too'd his transgender niece. So, yes.
What?
Yeah. Google. What? Google's your friend. Hey, is Baby John's, I guess that's smaller than Little John, huh?
I guess so.
All right, good. We brought it back with funny. anything else to say? I mean, we can just talk all day about how great this is. I don't know. Does that make sense to
do? I think so. I want to talk about Riff a little bit. So when I saw this when I was a kid, I do not recall how amazing he was at acrobatics, gymnast stuff. And that's I think that's well featured in this. And because he, you know, studied to be a gymnast.
Yeah, I thought it was a little weird when there's a pommel horse in the middle of the basketball court. That didn't really make sense.
Right, it's right.
Like Jim Cotta, the musical.
Right. Like, why is this strategically placed? But I think, you know, a great job. And then you mentioned to me, oh, it's like a Twin Peaks reunion.
Well, as a joke.
Yeah, I know. Because, you know, predates it, obviously. But
I guess Rita Moreno said no.
To Twin Peaks.
Playing, I don't know, maybe she could play Audrey's grandma or something like that.
Oh, God, no.
But, I mean, clearly, like, you know, David Lynch has seen all these classic films.
Yeah.
He just wants to make films that subvert the classic tropes that these films present, right? But he's still seen them and clearly loves them.
Yeah.
So when he's like, I need give me the tall guy from West Side Story.
Yeah.
You know, the nice guy. I want him to play the evil guy that runs this town.
Yeah.
And then, I don't know, have him bring Russ Tamblyn along, I guess, and we'll find something for him to do.
No flips, though.
Yeah. I think his flipping days are behind him.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
That's all good. I don't know why I wrote Mimi Matt LeBlanc.
I don't know why either. That's intriguing.
Did the character Mimi look like Matt LeBlanc?
I don't know.
How you doing?
Right. Exactly. I think the love story in this is more believable than in Romeo and Juliet. Not really? You're not feeling it?
If you play the Shakespeare one right, it is just... you know, it's just literally hormones. Like,
I guess,
you know, it's just he's infatuated with this person. And this is very romantic.
It's very romantic.
And also being created and broadcast when it is, you can't have Tony be like, I just met a girl in Muriel with an ass like a peach.
Oh my God. You know, no.
Picked by a teenage boy. You know what I mean? Like, you can't play up the sexual side of it. Although they do go to bed, as far as we know. And of course, when you're doing Shakespeare, all we ever do is make gritty reboots of Shakespeare now. So there's just titties everywhere, and you can really play the teenage sort of lust.
Do you think that's what Spielberg is going to do?
Thrill kill angle. Well, I know Ansel's down for it.
God. Okay.
I felt like it was a little chaste, and it didn't.
Yeah.
They really, the problem is a problem of society. Race and class.
Yes.
And there's no real addressing of that, like, once the love story is in full swing.
I guess not explicitly.
He tries to learn a couple, you know, oh, Gracias.
Yeah, and they're like,
okay, great. All right.
Yeah, I know. He's trying.
He would be Duolingo now.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, right, right. He would be taking Spanish classes and, yeah. Exactly. I really liked the Jet song, just watching it again, you know, like how it really sets the tone and establishes what's going on. You know, they're territorial about their turf, and everybody pretty much is afraid of them or respects them. And then Bernardo shows up and they're mean to him just like they're mean to everybody else. But then he kind of, you know, takes it personally, and but then there are more Puerto Ricans come to Hell's Kitchen, and the sharks kind of form, and then it's a nice way to progressively show over time how this gang conflict came to be, you know, through song and dance, the most graceful gangsters that you have ever seen. So, you know.
Yeah, I liked how they kind of collapsed some of the characters together. So, you know, Doc is the apothecary.
Yeah.
And Riff is kind of Benvolio and Mercutio.
He kind of is.
Together.
Yeah.
So they, I don't know, it's a little more efficient. Just get on that, Will. but it changes the theme a little bit, though, because there's already... open brawling in the streets in Romeo and Juliet, and Romeo falls in love with Juliet, and then they're going to do whatever they have to like stay together. And the apothecary is the one who's like, ooh, I know what I can do. I can leverage this young love to prove to the Capulets and the Montagues that they should stop this. If their children can fall in love, this is perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, that goes terribly awry. A double murder happens.
Yeah.
And then he's like, okay, now to fix this, I'm going to have them both pretend that they're dead, like L7.
Uh-huh.
And then we can get out of this.
Right.
And that screws up. Yep. And the whole thing's terrible.
Yes.
In this, it's just like, Tony's like, boy, I wish everybody could get along. And Maria's like, hey, go talk to them and try to stop them from killing each other. And then Tony does the killing. And that's where we go from there.
Right.
And there isn't any real extra complication except for... you know, they try to rape Anita, and then in order to just get them out of their lives totally, she just says that, you know, she's been killed, like Chico killed her.
Yeah, right.
And so then the telephone game happens, and then we have a big misunderstanding.
And Tony gets shot as he's running into Maria's arms.
Right. Chico does shoot him. Well, that happens.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. But it's not, you know, it isn't about love consuming itself, you know, in passion, and it isn't about an old man trying to manipulate the situation in order to have a good result, which is peace in Verona.
But right, right.
It just becomes like, boy, if Puerto Ricans and white people could just get along, nobody would get shot on a basketball court.
Well, and if the cops wouldn't meddle, too.
The cops are just terrible throughout the entire thing.
Yeah.
They prevent nothing.
They prevent nothing.
They foment quite a bit.
Yeah, they, you know, make the situation worse. Like, if the cop hadn't come and to question Maria, okay, her brother was shot. I understand why he was there. But if he hadn't come to question her right then,
stabbed.
She could have gone and met Tony sooner herself and not sent Anita. And
yeah,
maybe it would have been fine.
Yeah.
But then you don't have a movie, you know.
It's a similar series of missed connections.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it doesn't, I don't know. Ironically, it sets up more thematically, I think. It's richer thematically because I don't know what Verona was like in the 14th century or mm-hmm. whatever. We got these problems now.
We do.
But it doesn't pay any of them off to any great extent for the finale.
Yeah, that's true.
Whereas you really get the idea that things are going to be different in Verona when Romeo and Juliet 2 rolls around.
Yeah, that's true. I did kind of get the sense that, like, because Maria chastises everybody and, like, yells at them. And, like, I've got hate in my heart now, too. And
yeah, right.
You know, but you do kind of sense that things maybe are going to be a little different between the Jets and the Sharks. But I don't know how different. Like, is it going to last for a day? Is it going to last for a week? How is okay, it
stop
writing
be done? A new song for the show.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Oh, there you go. What's the new song going to be in the Spielberg one? Because you have to put your imprimatur on it. You have to have human again or whatever.
Yeah. I don't know. Some song that Maria sings at the end after Tony dies. I don't know.
Not looking forward to it.
No,
we'll
I'm
definitely
not either.
Talk about it though.
Yeah.
Who's the anybody's gonna be?
The what?
The girl who thinks she's a boy.
Oh.
Respect. How are they gonna do that?
I mean, I think you play that as is, right?
I think you cut it.
You do?
Yeah. Why would Steven Spielberg? Actually, Steven Spielberg likes precocious young actresses, right?
Yes.
Young women.
He absolutely does.
Yeah. Maybe he'll make a big thing out of that. Who knows?
I actually thought it was kind of refreshing to see because I feel like, okay, so like, you know, Riff was not necessarily totally accepting of her because, or of them, I don't know pronouns, but like, was like, you can't be here because you are a girl, even though she, you know, wanted to be part of the gang and wanted to more or less be a boy.
Right.
And then the new guy comes along who's in charge and he, you know, lets her do stuff and lets her feel like she's a part of it. And so that was kind of cool to see, you know, acceptance. You can be a part of the gang. I mean, is that a positive thing?
Ice?
Yeah.
I think.
Ice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who character created cool. for the film.
Okay.
I don't know who had all his parts in the stage show, but.
Yeah, I don't either. Interesting. Who sang cool, I wonder. Or was that new for the movie?
Cool. The tensest song ever written for the stage.
Yeah, right.
People literally just tearing their faces off.
I know.
Stay cool. Would you recommend this?
Yeah, 100% I would.
It's clear
yes.
that you would.
Yeah, it's, yeah, if you haven't seen it, do yourself a favor. See the original before the Spielberg film comes out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, you know, yeah, like we said, it's long. There's an intermission.
There is an intermission.
But, you know, it's not going to bore you. Sit with it.
Yeah.
Maybe get a little something to drink, get some popcorn.
Yes.
And yeah, just stick with West Side Story.
That's right.
Which now would just all be coffee bars and condos, right?
Everything is
the West Side of where?
Changed. Yeah, right.
What would it even be?
I don't know.
Hell's Kitchen. They couldn't afford a place in Hell's Kitchen.
Probably not. Is Daredevil around? Or is he not needed anymore?
Funny story. This is 1961. Mm-hmm. I would imagine that, you know, Stanley Lieber mm-hmm. Might have been taking Joan to the pictures and they saw West Side Story. And
sure.
I know it's not just him, but him and Bill Everett and Jack Kirby saw this movie. Oh, what if there was a hero that had to deal with all that? But then we'll write all the Puerto Ricans out.
Oh, come on.
Shouldn't like Foggy? Shouldn't Karen be Puerto Rican at least?
Yes. Yeah.
Shouldn't Matt be Puerto Rican?
Yeah.
Hashtag Puerto Rican Daredevil now. No, because you know who would play him?
Who?
Lin-Manuel Miranda.
No! Sorry.
The man without shame.
A place for us
Well, there we go. I can't wait till the Spielberg one comes out. And I'm not kidding about that. I mean, I say that kind of jokingly, but I'm not actually joking. I am gonna watch that. I'm gonna make a deal with myself about the Ansel Elgort thing, and I'll donate to a charity for abused women or something like that.
All right.
And then I'm gonna watch our greatest modern filmmaker's take on the greatest musical film of all time. Sorry, Camelot. That's right. And see what happens.
Hopefully,
in a post Cats world. We're going to see what happens.
Oh, my God.
We're going to watch what happens, like Bravo.
Yeah.
Where these films will be playing late at night. join us. Dance. Snap with us. Rumble with us.
Ooh.
Fair fight, though. On social media services, wherever you find us, it's Just Enough Trope. Look it up. And also find us on streaming services, all your listening platforms. Subscribe to the show there. And give us a review and a rating, because we want to hear how you think we're doing. We want to hear what you want us to talk about in the future. So give us 5 switchblades. The era of the switchblade.
Yep.
Got to get that.
Mm-hmm.
Switchblade is double-edged and razor sharp.
Yeah, I don't like them because they just flick out. Like my tongue. Scary. Okay.
They just flick out.
Yeah.
I don't think they've invented the cool...
those are scary.
Knife
too.
Kung Fu thing where you go.
Right.
I guess that's a butterfly knife.
Yeah.
A switchblade just comes out.
Yeah, right.
But so maybe butterfly knives instead. But you give us 5 stars. We'd appreciate it. We'll be back next week to talk about something else. And until then, we're signing off. I'm your host, Caliban.
I'm your co-host, Mikan Hanna.
Keep the geek fires burning.